little less than 2 months ago, Ken Burns was in St. Louis and spent a great hour with us on the air talking about his upcoming nearly 15-hour documentary called The War, a 7-part epic about World War II that will air on Channel 9 beginning Sunday night. It'll be on for 4 nights next week and 3 nights the following week. And I'm happy to have Ken join us again this afternoon here on KMOX. Hi, Ken. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. I know when you were here, it was part of your cross-country tour to kind of spark some interest in the documentary. And now it's 2 months later. Have you gone back and re-edited any part of it since then?
No, we haven't. It's intact. We've been sharing it with folks all across the country from every region, every political stripe, every sex, every age, and the response has been overwhelming. I've gotten the best reviews of my life, but more importantly, the veterans have come up, and the children of veterans have said thank you for telling it the way it happened, or thank you for sharing what is essentially my dad's story.
Have you had more of these people come up to you and say, Dad never talked about it until you made this movie?
You know, it's happened, and what we've done is we've partnered with the Library of Congress's Veteran History Project and are reaching out to those kids and grandkids and great-grandkids who may not have yet heard from their relative what they've done. And you can go to pbs.org/thewar and download from us some very simple lighting and shooting instructions and some sample questions. And we might be able to just take the 40-odd people who are at the center of our film and radiate out and really start a kind of revolution of getting these people down before they pass away. I mean, my own dad died in 2001, and I still regret nearly every day I worked on this film over the last 6 years not asking him all the questions I wanted to ask him, and I don't want anyone else to feel that regret.
This will seem like a very odd question, but I think you'll understand the tone behind it. In all the guys that you talked to who went to fight in the Second World War, did any of them say they liked it?
You know, I think what happens is, yes, is the very short, simple answer, but it has to be qualified by the fact that war is this extraordinary paradox that when your life is most threatened, when violent death is possible at any moment, everything about life is vivified. Your experience of things heightened to a degree not felt in ordinary life. And war creates, obviously, a repugnant, repellent thing. But it also has a dynamics that are undeniably compelling and even for some attractive. And so it's not so much that someone liked it, but there were moments when they liked it. There are moments when in battle they liked it, when everything was vivified. And we were trying to get at all of those feelings, the feelings of guilt of the friends you left behind, the just the horrors and the traumas of seeing things no human being should ever have to see as the byproducts of war exhibit themselves almost daily. There is, of course, the very logical and understandable fear, loneliness, boredom, all of the things come along, and they're common to everyone's experience.
I just last night went to a screening of this new movie called In the Valley of Ella, which is opening up this weekend, and which we'll have our reviewer talking about a little bit later on this afternoon. It's an Iraq veterans war, a really ugly story of murder and betrayal, and In it, many of the guys who are Iraq veterans talk about the horrors of war that they saw and the difficulties in coming back and readjusting to citizens' life. That had to have been true for the guys who came back from Europe and Asia during World War II as well.
It's absolutely true. And last night I was in Washington, D.C. We showed some clips from the film. And this time afterwards, instead of taking questions, we questioned one of the veterans in our film, a Vietnam veteran who was awarded the Bronze Star, and a kid just back from Iraq. And it was almost as if you were looking at grandson, father, and grandfather. They were the same. And at one point, the Iraqi vet turned with tears in his eyes to this very painful statement that our vet, World War II vet, had said, and said, "I feel like I am an echo of you. There are things common to war. I was scared, I was bored, I saw bad things, I did bad things, I lost good friends that have not changed for thousands of years, I'm sorry, won't change for thousands of years. And it is our obligation, particularly as a free people, to know what that cost of war is so that we can make decisions about what war is to fight." And what we try to do with the Civil War was show not just the bloodless, gallant myth, but what really took place, what the stakes were about. And so, too, we've done it here, and we have been honored and privileged to sort of bear witness to the testimony of these 40-odd people, some who stayed at home and worked and worried and grieved in the face of the struggle, but most of them being in combat all across the Second World War's battlefields and bringing back to us not that distracted stuff about generals and strategy and armaments, but about the real story of what takes place.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Ken Burns about his upcoming 15-hour documentary, The War, which will air in four nights next week on Channel 9 and three nights the week after that. And it begins on Sunday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. The war focuses on guys who went to war from four geographically different areas: Waterbury, Connecticut; Mobile, Alabama; Sacramento, California; and Luverne, Minnesota, which is by far the smallest of the four locations. It's a small farming town. What were the commonalities that you found between the men in that little place compared to a bigger metropolis like Sacramento, California?
Well, you know, it's funny. There were, just as we were talking about, obvious distinctions between Iraq and Vietnam and the Second World War, and obvious similarities. So, too, in these towns, you know, small Luverne, Minnesota, 3,000 people, farming community, didn't change outwardly that much. But psychologically, of course, this war touched every family on every street in every town in America. And our idea was to pick four just random towns so that we could prove the ultimate theme of our film is that there are no ordinary lives, that as we take these so-called ordinary people, they reveal how extraordinary they are. And you can go down the interstate and stop off at that little town and just scratch the surface and find a war hero, find someone who, as we did in Luverne, Minnesota, begin his professional career on June 6, 1944, D-Day, strafing German positions in advance of the landing of the troops. Sacramento and Waterbury and Mobile all were completely transformed by the war. They became boom war towns. And it's interesting to watch not only the inner psychological changes, you know, as families are forced to switch their blue stars to gold when they lose a family member, or the way in which the letters home affect people, but how these towns exploded. The industries all went over to the defense effort. Bases grew up overnight. Shipbuilding in Mobile quadrupled in just a few weeks. And it's an amazing transformation that happens at home. And I think this is the first documentary that I'm aware of that covers the European and the Pacific theaters and the home front simultaneously.
Yeah, and I think you do, having seen it, because you sent me a screener of it before we talked in July, and I was particularly taken with how well you covered the home front there. And as you say, not just the families who are sitting at home wondering about their husbands and sons and brothers, but also about the industry. And having worked in Connecticut, my wife's family is from there. That's where we met. I know a little bit about Waterbury, Connecticut, which is about as blue-collar an American town as you can get.
And they turned over everything. You know, it was proudly called themselves Brass City in the 19th century, and they made alarm clocks and lipstick holders and cocktail shakers, and all of a sudden they were making bullets and buttons for uniforms and gun carriages and all sorts of things. And it was said by the end of the war there wasn't a British or American soldier that wasn't riding on, shooting, or wearing something made in Waterbury, Connecticut.
News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Ken Burns about his new documentary, The War, which starts Sunday night on PBS. When you were here, we kind of touched on this, but we didn't really get into it very much, about the media in this war in Iraq and the war that you did this documentary about, World War II. Very, very different angles on it. There's a few limitations on what the media can do now, some of it because of the nature of the war we're involved in, but also, you know, the Bush administration has not allowed coverage of the caskets coming home to Dover Air Force Base. But all of that is nothing compared to the way the media was kind of turned into a propagandist arm of the government during World War II, right?
It was, and yet it's so funny because in some ways it seems people had a much clearer idea of not only what was going on in the war, but what the reality of the horror was. It is true there was a great deal of censorship in the Second World War. It is true that Hollywood went to work producing documentaries, that the government made a lot, that the, quote, embedded, unquote, journalists had different sort of beats and responsibilities. But all in all, watching my country report this current war and watching that, I'm very impressed with how much openness there was. By September of 1943, The government permitted Life magazine to show a photograph that showed three dead Americans face down on a beach in Buna in the South Pacific. And it was electrifying. The country was just so moved. It was possible all throughout that war to see the caskets coming home and to see the photographs of that and to honor the dead in a front page, not deep buried in the newspaper way that we list the dead now. And also by the end of 1943, the government itself reversed policy and permitted the Marines to do a movie themselves called With the Marines at Tarawa, which showed the most brutal combat footage in some ways that I've ever seen. And Americans everywhere had a chance to see it, and it really galvanized a lot of bond sales and things. So it's funny, today we don't really have access to the fighting and its immediate consequences. You can find it on the internet, but you almost feel like a pornographer. That is to say, you're sort of searching for these forbidden images. And part of it has to do with the fact that the war did touch every family on every street in every town in America. And now we have a separate military class that unfortunately has to suffer its losses apart and alone from the rest of us. And I think there's a disconnect. Back then, everybody was engaged in shared sacrifice. Today, nobody really wants to give up too much, and many people are sort of, in a daily sense, unaware that a titanic struggle is going on. And that I don't think speaks well of us now. There's too much pluribus now and not enough unum, the late historian Arthur Schlesinger would say.
I agree with you. You know, no one has asked us to make major sacrifices in our life, and for the most part, we go on with our lives every day and rarely even think about or talk about what's going on with our men and women in uniform.
We couldn't find Iraq on a map, and you're right. After 9/11, we were asked just to go shopping. It was almost as if somebody said, don't worry your pretty little head about it. But if my president had asked, I would do a dozen things or two dozen things if that's what it took. And who knows, in these six intervening years since 9/11, perhaps we would have been able to free ourselves entirely from a dependency on foreign oil. Think where we'd be. Perhaps that would have so enriched our coffers that the infrastructure of the United States could have been repaired. Our bridges wouldn't be falling. Our levees wouldn't be failing. You know, the paradox is that in shared sacrifice, we made ourselves richer. It doesn't seem less strange. You know, today we don't want to give up anything, and yet we feel a poverty of that community spirit that we all felt everywhere in the United States, quite apart from the fact that there were as deep divisions and spectrum of political beliefs then as there are now.
So, Ken, you've done great work on the Civil War. You've now done great work on World War II. When are you going to take on Vietnam as a topic?
You know, after the Civil War, I said I wasn't going to do war again. It took me about a decade to reverse course and realize I didn't have the luxury of ignoring this struggle, particularly since veterans are dying at the rate of 1,000 a day. So I am making no such promise now. And I think that we will very shortly begin to look into Vietnam. I think it deserves our attention. I think those veterans will then be in a few years, not so much at the exact age that the World War II veterans are, but they'll be at that place in their life. There'll be enough water on the bridge, enough perspective, that I think that we could make an incredibly interesting series about what is, of course, a seminal moment in American history.
The War will air over four nights next week and three nights the week after on Channel 9, the PBS affiliate here in St. Louis, and all the PBS stations across the country. About 15 hours of terrific work that Ken and his team have put together. You'll also be able to buy the entire documentary series on DVD, and in fact, we've put it up on our KMOX Children's Hospital Amazon bookstore on KMOX.com, and as always, if you do buy it through there, Children's Hospital will get a little commission on every one of those sales. So there are plenty of ways for you to see this work, which I think is another piece of important work that you've contributed to the American history lesson, Ken, and I thank you very much for it.
Oh, I really appreciate you adding your voice to letting people know about this, and I promise that anybody within the sound of my voice, if they honor us by investing the time to see this series, I promise they will not be disappointed.
Talk to you again soon, Ken. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Paul.
Ken Burns here on The Paul Harris Show. The War starts Sunday night on Channel 9. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.